If you have your Bible this morning, would you join me as we make this confession together? Words on the screen. If you're not familiar with them, as long as you agree, make the confession with us. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Sound great. You're awake. For those of you who are listening, we sprung forward last night and moved the clocks forward 1 hour, but it's a blessing to have you all here today, those of you joining online as well. Before I read these verses in Mark, I want to just give you two, if you want to write them down, that'll be like a setup for today. They're found in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, two verses, verses 3 and 4. And we'll have them on the screen so you can follow along. He writes to the church, Paul does, he's one of the apostles or leaders. He says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness or his cunningness, his lies. He said, there's a fear that I have that you would be deceived so that your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. There's a double meaning, I believe, there. First of all, the gospel is not complicated. Christianity is not complicated. It's a simple relationship with God through the sacrifice of Jesus by the power of his Holy Spirit. That's really what Christianity is about. And the scripture, that word, I looked it up, simplicity has the idea of singleness. So the what it's basically saying, I'll keep reading here. He says, I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the undivided devotion to Christ. That's really the idea. In fact, it's translated that way. It's translated single-hearted devotion and undevoted or undivided devotion to Christ. And how does the devil try to divide us? He deceives us, or he tries. Then he goes on in verse 4 and he says this, for he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached. Or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. We don't have to put up. We're not to put up with some things. And in fact, this scripture, this is what I would like to ask this morning. Here is the title of the message, and I hope to answer it is this. Who is the real Jesus? Who is the real Jesus? Because that scripture says there's another. There's another Jesus. So how will we discern the real Jesus, the true Jesus, from another? And how will we, I would say, recognize a deceiving spirit from the Holy Spirit who would want to deceive us and lead us into a false gospel, which is not the true gospel? So how can we recognize, and who is the real Jesus? Mark chapter 4, I begin reading verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On the same day, let me pause here just a second. I feel like I need to remind people of something. For those of you, if you weren't here last week to hear this, I invited the church, I asked everyone to join me in reading through the Gospel of Mark in the month of March, 4 chapters a week. So I want to say, if maybe this is the first time you're hearing this, that's okay. Even online, I put these little guides out on the table. It's just basically like a little check mark so you can give yourself a check to see which chapter is for the week and to let me know of your takeaways. We did that yesterday at the breakfast. I love hearing what you get out of the scripture or if you have any questions. So please take advantage. They're here and they're also online. I'll give you the website, clmfamily.org. You can look at it anytime. If you have a printer, you can print them off. clmfamily.org. And I took all my notes from today's message and put them on there this morning too. So you can see that if you want to take advantage as a resource. So, but if even if today you join us, if you read a chapter a day, by next week, you'll be caught up. We'll all be together, all right? So Mark chapter 4, verse 35, on the same day when evening had come, He, speaking of Jesus, said to them, his disciples, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats also with him. And a great windstorm, would you say great windstorm? Arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already filling, but Jesus was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Have you noticed sometimes a tendency when we're in the storm, we want to blame God and say, you don't care? Lord, help us. He cares very much, so he cares deeply. Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Then Jesus arose, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. See the contrast? Great windstorm, and then a great calm after Jesus gave the word. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Then they feared exceedingly. They had a different kind of fear. One translation says they were overwhelmed with fear and awe at the authority and power of Jesus over creation. Because they said, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? They basically asked the question I'm asking this morning, who is the real Jesus? So let me give you the first attribute. Of course, we could stay here all day. I'm just going to give you four. All right, but the first attribute I'd like to share with you from these verses in Mark is that the real Jesus is creator. The real Jesus is the creator. As I said, in the Passion Translation, it says that when there was such a contrasting calm, after Jesus just stood up, he rebuked the storm, he spoke to the wind, the waves, and then there was a great calm. And it says they were overwhelmed with fear and awe. You say, how could he do that? Well, this is the Son of God, Jesus, the real Jesus. And he spoke creation into existence. He created everything. I want to give you a scripture reference. We'll stay right here in Mark. But if you want to write it down, I'll read it to you from Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. We'll put it on the screen. The Son is the image of the invisible God. In other words, he's the one who came out to where we could see God with in human flesh, basically. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, or the preeminent one over all creation. For by him, all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether they are kings, lords, rulers, or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. Verse 17, he himself existed before anything else did. And I love this phrase, and he holds all things together. Can anyone relate to feeling like your life is absolutely falling apart? Or you go through a day and you feel like I'm falling apart. I love this scripture because I picture it like this. Jesus holding me together. I may feel like I'm falling apart, but I'm not, because the Son of God's got me. He's holding me together, and he is my source of strength. He is the creator. The real Jesus is the creator. And this is what he says here. In fact, I wanted to start with this. I'm going to give them to you in alphabetical order, but I wanted to start with this one because if we diminish the essence of his nature in any area, we diminish the essence of his nature in every area. We can't pick and choose like a cafeteria-style Christianity that says, well, I'll take him as my Savior, but I won't take him as my Lord. I'll take him as my healer, but I won't take him as... No, you get the package deal. When you believe in your heart that Jesus, the real Jesus, is Lord, you get everything he is, all that he is. So the real Jesus, first of all, is creator. Would you turn back to chapter 1? Mark chapter 1. And would you say this after me? I don't do this just as a whatever, like meaningless talk. When we see words and we can relate them, we hear them, and we speak them, I believe it helps us retain them better. It helps, it's like watering the seed and the planting and watering that seed of God's word in our heart. Because one of the parables Jesus taught, if you read Mark 4, was that Satan will come immediately to try to steal that word out of our hearts. So if we can get deep roots and not allow him to steal it, we give it a chance to grow and bear fruit. So would you say the real Jesus is creator and deliverer? And that's the second aspect or virtue of Jesus I'd like to share from right here in these chapters, that the real Jesus is not only the creator, but because he is the creator, he is the deliverer. In other words, he's the one who frees us from anything that holds us in bondage, that whatever that is, because he has the full authority of God. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 21, the Bible says this, "Then they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Jesus taught with the authority of God. That's, I love that. He was in there. He wasn't just repeating something he had read, although he, of course, was familiar with the scripture. He had the authority of God, and he spoke that way to hear him. And his spirit can speak to us with that same authority today because his spirit is here. Verse 23 says, "There was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.'" See, lifeless religion benefits no one. Jesus has the authority to cast out those spirits and to free us. Even the demons recognized Jesus and they feared him because they know what their future is. Let me read one more verse there. Verse 26, it says, "When the unclean spirit had convulsed him," like he was going through convulsions, "and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed so that they questioned among themselves, 'What is this? What new doctrine or teaching is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.'" Jesus, the real Jesus, frees captives. And I thank God for that. And that's why even when we pray, it's so important when we pray, much work, I'll say it that way, in the spiritual realm is done in prayer, even for someone to come to know Jesus, because the Bible tells us that Satan wants to blind our hearts and minds to deceive us. That's why it's so important to understand our need. If I don't even realize that I have a need, then I'm not going to seek the Savior. But if I realize I am a sinner, my sin separates me from a holy God, and I need someone to forgive me. That's the real Jesus. So the real Jesus frees the captives. And I would, even as believers, we can have areas in our lives that are strongholds that for whatever reason, they hinder us in our walk with the Lord. Doesn't mean you're not a Christian. Doesn't mean you don't love the Lord. Doesn't mean you're not spiritual. It just means we have those areas where we're still in our human weakness sometimes because the devil will look for anywhere he can to get a stronghold. That's why the Bible says, not to give him any ground. You know what they say, if you give Satan an inch, he'll become a ruler. How about that one? So don't give him anything, keep the door shut. But so if we keep seeking the Lord then, continually seeking him maybe for a breakthrough, seeking him for deliverance or freedom in an area of our lives, Jesus can set us free. If we do our part, he has the goods to do his part. So the real Jesus is creator and deliverer. Because, let me give you the third one. All right. Actually, let me make sure I give you these verses before I get ahead of myself. Verse 29. It says, now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother, Peter's mother-in-law, lay sick with a fever. They told Jesus about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Would you say this once again? Would you say this after me? Would you say, the real Jesus is creator, deliverer, and healer. Amen. So he is our healer as well. He is not only the creator, he is the deliverer, the one who sets us free, and he is the healer. And I want to give you just three purposes, if you want to write them down, of healing, physical healing today. And we're not on the screen. I'll just tell you what they are, but this is one of them. One purpose of physical healing is service. When Peter's mother-in-law was healed, what did it say she did? She got up and served them. See, this is not a put down to someone who's sick or has an issue and maybe they feel like they can't give 100%. That's not any takeaway from you at all of your worth or walk with the Lord. But one blessing of full health is that we can use it in full strength to worship and serve the Lord. So because sometimes, of course, it can hinder us if we're not able to maybe even get out or to be around people or to whatever the case may be. So there is a purpose in healing that we can serve him to our full ability. And this scripture here, in fact, I want to ask you to drop down to verse 40 as well, because it says this. This is another reference going along with the Lord as a healer. It says, now a leper came to him, to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him. Leprosy was a skin disease that had no known cure. And he said to him, if you are willing, Jesus, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand. This man hasn't been touched in who knows when, because you could be considered unclean if you touch a leper. And they were in a crowd, they were supposed to shout unclean to keep someone from accidentally touching them. Jesus was moved with such compassion, he said, I'm willing, and he touched that man. But doesn't that show the heart of God? It shows the heart of the Lord. He was moved with compassion. He reached out and touched this supposedly unclean leper and said, I'm willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Thank God for that. See, sin, the breaking of God's commandments, is what brought, first of all, spiritual death, that separation from God. But it also brought sickness, it brought suffering, and of course, it brought physical death. But the Lord loves us, and he's moved with compassion for what hurts us and what is a concern to us. The real Jesus reached out and touched lepers who were unclean. The real Jesus healed lame legs and opened blind eyes and unstopped deaf ears. The real Jesus even raised the dead, because he is creator, deliverer, and healer, and he heals the spirit, soul, and body. You say, but Brother Rocky, here was a Christian, and we prayed for their healing, and they died, and they loved the Lord. Well, again, this is not heaven, and these are not glorified bodies. But if we know the Lord, his Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, and when we take our last breath in this life, we'll open our eyes in the presence of the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And not only that, but when this life is over and this age is over, we have a brand new, glorified, immortal body, just like his body, waiting for us to clothe us on the other side. Thank God, that's the real Jesus. And that gives us hope today. But again, we want to use our healing for the glory of God. Use it to our full ability. Then he goes on, he says this, finishing up those verses there in Mark chapter 4, chapter 1, verse 44. He says, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded, notice, as a testimony to them. So one purpose in healing is for our full service to God. A second purpose is to use it as a testimony, to use healing as a testimony for the Lord. But what he did, he didn't want it to broadcast at this time. He did later, But at this time, he didn't want this man to tell everyone because the crowds were on him so bad. The man did go out and tell everybody. And as a result, the crowds became so bad, Jesus had to leave. He couldn't even openly minister. He had to stay out in the wilderness because people wanted to get to him so bad. So that's the real Jesus. Use it as a testimony. And then finally, chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. This is the last one. Would you again say this with me? Would you say, the real Jesus is creator, deliverer, healer, and savior. Amen. He is our savior. He is our deliverer, our healer. He is our creator. Someone say he's all that. All that. He's God all by himself. He is the savior. Thank God he is. Thank God he saves us. That means he rescues us from our sins, forgives our sins, rescues us from sin and death. And Mark chapter 2, I begin reading in verse 1. I won't read every verse, but just beginning in verse 1, it says, "And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that Jesus was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them." Jesus preached the word of God to people. That's what we, isn't that what we need today? We need to hear the word of God. You don't need my opinion or whatever. We need the word of God. and we need to hear God's word. So Jesus preached the word to them. And then verse 3 says, "Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men." Now, they're carrying him on some type of like a mat, and they're bringing him in, and it's so many people in the house, they can't get in the door. So they came up with a very creative idea. Somehow there was access up to the roof, and it may have been that they had steps where sometimes, if you remember in Acts, I think it was chapter 10, Peter went up on the roof to take a nap or something during the hot part of the day, and so he went up on there, and they just began taking the roof out of their way. And they lower this man who is lame in his legs down into the presence of Jesus. And so Jesus sees them, everybody sees him, but when Jesus sees them, this is what it says in verse 5. It says, "When Jesus saw their faith," let me pause right there just a second. Doing God's word is evidence of believing God's word. Doing God's word is the fruit of believing God's word. Jesus said, you know a tree how? By its fruit. And faith without works or corresponding actions is what? Is dead. And it says here, Jesus saw their faith. He knew they were trying to get this man into his presence, and it produced action in them. And Jesus saw their faith, and this is what he said. Verse 5, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Well, he wasn't necessarily coming in. He was coming in to be healed, but he had faith to be saved too. So he says, "Your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting and reasoning in their hearts. They're thinking on the inside now, who is this who blasphemes because only God can forgive sins? Oh, wait a minute. They were right in that aspect of that God alone can forgive our sins and give us eternal life. See, Jesus showed that he is more than a good teacher. He's not just another prophet. The real Jesus is the eternal, sinless Son of the living God who clothed himself with human flesh, entered our world, lived a sinless life, and willingly laid his life, his body down on the cross as a sacrifice to pay for our sins. Jesus took our judgment for us. He died. He was literally in the grave. He literally came back to life 3 days later, and he reigns on high, and the real Jesus is Lord of all. He's the real Jesus. And I would say, please don't fall for a counterfeit. Make sure you got the real Jesus to follow and believe in. So he comes in and he Jesus realized, he perceived in his spirit, they were thinking this in their hearts. So he just jumped ahead and said, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you? Or rise, take up your bed and walk? We can answer that. Which one is easier to say? If there was someone in here in a wheelchair and I said, son, your sins are forgiven you, is that easier than saying, rise and get up out of that chair? It's easier, isn't it? Because you can't tell. You don't know if I had the power to forgive him or not. But Jesus said, but just to show you that I got the goods and I can back up what I say and I really am who I am, this is what he says in verse 10. But that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we've never saw anything like this. That's the third purpose of healing. In this case, healing and salvation ultimately is always to the glory of God. It's to the glory of God. It should be a testimony, and we use it to give our full service and strength to God whenever he does heal us and we're in time of need. This paralyzed man, think about how his life changed. I'll close with this last couple of verses here, still in Mark chapter 2. Would you look at verse 15? The Bible says this, Mark 2:15. Now it happened as Jesus, was dining in Levi's house. He was a man we call Matthew. He wrote Matthew, and he was a tax collector, and Jesus called him to follow him. And it says that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. Jesus calls us all to follow him. Verse 16 says this, and when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? Let me pause there just a minute. I, for one, am glad Jesus associated with sinners because I qualify. And if getting to heaven was on me, I'm out. I'm messed up. I can tell you that. I am messed up. I'll just leave it at that. But thank God it's not up to me. And thank God the real Jesus associated with sinners, not to make them or us comfortable in sin. He does not condone or excuse sin. He convicts and frees and forgives sin so that we can have a heart change. That's the real Jesus. So he says this in verse 17 then, and when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to what? He came to call sinners to repentance. Repentance is, really it means a change of mind or heart. It's turning from unbelief to believe that Jesus, the real Jesus, is Lord. To believe in him with our heart and then to follow him. He is the Son of God. And to follow him means, I know he's not here today physically, it means to follow his example and try to live by God's word through the power of his Holy Spirit. That's what it means to follow Jesus today. And then what do we do when we sin as a Christian, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus? What am I to do when I sin, because I still mess up at times? Repent quickly, receive his forgiveness, and then stay close to him, because the devil will always try to get in, condemn us, and get that wedge in between and separate us from our close fellowship with the Lord. Please don't let him do it. Focus on the Lord throughout the day and enjoy close fellowship with him. The real Jesus is alive and well, and we can get to know him, and his spirit will live in us and lead us and guide us in a daily walk. The real Jesus is creator, deliverer, healer, and savior. Thank God he is. Would you say that with me? Would you say the real Jesus is creator, deliverer, healer, and savior. Let me close with this. We put little devotions out on the table every 3 months. Church buys them for you to have. But last month, I think it was January 21st, I read this. Y'all familiar with Napoleon? I thought what he said was very appropriate for today's message. This is what he said about Jesus. He said, "I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every other person in the world, there is no possible term of comparison." Who can compare? "Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded empires. But on what did we rest the creations of our genius? Upon force. Jesus Christ founded his empire on love, and at this hour, millions of men would die for him." That's the real Jesus. Let me ask you now, because between you and the Lord, really, do you know the real Jesus? And are you following him closely? And you say, "I'm not sure." Well, then, why don't you start today? Start right now. Believe in Jesus, that he really is the Son of God. Receive him as Lord, and then do his word, do his will, and follow him closely. He loves you, and he wants you to be close to him. Thank God that we can know the real Jesus and have a relationship with him. Can we stand together as we close? Before we sing this, a closing chorus today, can we just focus on the Lord? We'll go before him in prayer. And I'd like to ask, just allow the Holy Spirit to just speak to your heart right now. Do you acknowledge him? Do you really know him as creator, as deliverer? Is there area, maybe you're struggling, we all have our struggles, but is there an area in your life where you really just believe you need to focus on him as your deliverer, the one who frees you from some stronghold, something that's really you feel like's hindered you in your walk with him and testimony? Maybe you need a healing in your spirit, in your heart, your mind, your body. He is able. Would you just focus on him right now? Just ask him to be Lord of that area of your life. Then I want to pray for you. First, even with just heads bowed, eyes closed for just a moment, would you, if you say, "Brother Rocky, I want a closer walk with the Lord. I've gotten a little distance. I've even allowed a little something. I'm a Christian, but I really want that closer walk with the Lord in my life. I'd like to pray for you." Would you just lift your hand right there where you are? Anyone at all? Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Amen. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Is there anyone here today who would say, "Brother Rocky, I'm not sure that I know the real Jesus, but I want to. I want to make sure. I want to know my sins are forgiven. I want to know when I draw my last breath that I'll be in the presence of my Savior." Is there anyone here today who would say, "Brother Rocky, I don't know if I really know him, but I want to. Would you pray for me?" Is there anyone here today? Would you lift up your hand? Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you so much. Anyone else? You can put your hands down. You're among people who love you. Father, I pray for these right now. First, who aren't sure, Lord, you want us to know that we're saved. So I pray that you would even draw them, even right now, that your Holy Spirit is convincing their heart that Jesus is Lord. And just with simple childlike faith, they're going to trust you right now and receive you and confess you as Lord and follow you the rest of their days with no doubt. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who just want that closer walk with you. I'm so thankful that you're moving. I pray that you would just grant it. Put a holy hunger in us that nothing in this world is ever going to satisfy us in place of you. Lord, help us not to be sidetracked. Help us to renew our commitment, our walk with you, and just say, "Lord, have your way." I pray for fullness of joy out of fellowship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing this.